An unmarried son is a liability for any Indian family, but it's worse if he's in another country, there's continued extended family pressures, and he's also shown a remarkable ability to not pick up. Every week, we look at the joys and pitfalls of an arranged marriage with our modern Indian man, Muli, and his sister, Star. Hi, guys, and welcome to the Arranged Marriage for the Modern Indian Man podcast. My name is Bobby, and I'm joined today by the man in question, Muli, and his sister, Star. Hi, guys, how are we doing?
Hey, Bobby, I'm good.
Hey, Bobby, how are you?
Good, thanks. So, guys, this week we... Our episode is going to take a little bit of a different theme. We've got some really great feedback from our listeners recently that we really want to touch upon this episode and talk a little bit about what they've kind of requested from us and questions they've posed to us. So I'm really excited about this episode. But before we get into that, Muli, do you want to give us an update?
Sure. So we can just have a quick update. I've got some interesting news from the previous weekend. I got messaged by a girl for the first time.
Whoa. So
that was exciting. But what was not exciting was like that she was not that enthusiastic, I think, about the whole process. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about a few matches that my parents had brought up. So she was one of those matches, and my parents really hadn't heard anything from her mom in the last couple of weeks. So she sort of messaged me out of the blue, which was a nice surprise, and I said that, and we chatted for a little bit, but it was pretty apparent that she was not that interested. I think maybe her parents were like, oh, just talk to him and see what happens. And she was like, oh, I really don't want to, but I will. So I think that's kind of what happened. I think she was maybe forced into it a little bit because she was not very enthusiastic at all. I found that I was asking her a lot of questions and most of her replies were kind of like, oh, that's nice. Or like just generic, very like kind of easy questions. And she did ask me one serious question, and that was about it, really. So after asking her a couple of questions, I kind of stopped texting her, and she hasn't texted me back in the last couple of days, so I guess that's that.
Do you think you're going to hear anything officially, like, look, tried, didn't work out, or do you think that's it's just going to be this slow fade, and you'll never hear from her again?
I don't think I will hear from her again. My parents might hear from her mom, perhaps. But that's about it, I think. So I don't think I'll hear from her again, that's for sure. I've talked to the parents about her already, so they know and they're kind of like okay with it. And they haven't heard anything from her mom in the last couple of weeks, so I guess they aren't expecting to hear anything more.
So is there anyone else on the horizon?
Not really. Our parents have been traveling a bit again, so they've been a bit busy. But I did speak to them yesterday and told them about this girl who I've named Kushbu temporarily. So I talked to my parents and they know about her and they said that they're going to get back into it now. So we'll probably have some people next week.
All right. That sounds like something to look forward to, maybe. Hopefully it goes well.
Yeah, I guess. A funny thing that they told me was apparently like it's summer holidays now in India. So apparently like all the like Jyotishis / astrologers who are like very important for the process have all gone home to their like native place, apparently, like to their village or whatever. So apparently they're like, Star, did you know that our parents have like a Jyotishi, like a astrologer? It's a lady apparently.
No, I didn't know about this at all. This is news to me. What do they use her for? Like, does she look at all the astrology horoscopes or?
I think they use her to determine whether the match is going to work out or not. Like, you know, they can do the more advanced. There's like the basic like zodiac sign, day you were born, etc. But then they can do some more advanced personality match type stuff, apparently.
Honestly, I'm outraged that they're spending our inheritance on this kind of woo instead of just like letting you talk to people. Like, come on, mom and dad. I could be taking some sweet vacations with this in 20 years' time.
Yeah. So anyways, apparently our like... their consulting astrologer is away. So, and also apparently the, like another girl that they've been talking to, like her parents' consulting astrologer is also away. So that's been a bit of a hiccup apparently in the process.
Well, I guess nothing can be done now until they're all back from their holidays.
Yeah, that's right.
Guys, I think we need to actually look into what they're actually matching up at some stage, because Muli, your life could be determined by this, but we know next to nothing about what the astrologers actually do.
Yeah, I guess so. They do like to make fun of it, and that's about it. But There's definitely no science to it. Like, I think we could all agree on that.
Oh, yeah. No, there's definitely no truth behind it. But I just want to know what criteria they use to match you up.
But yeah, that could definitely be a topic for future episodes.
Well, looks like it's a nice little break for you anyway, Muli. So let's get into the feedback email that we've got from one of our listeners. So this email is from an NRI who is living in Singapore. High five. Well, not that I'm living in Singapore at the moment, but I am from Singapore. And this guy, he's been listening to us on his commute to work, and he's really relating to the podcast, guys, because like Muli, he is also facing pressures from his parents to go into the arranged marriage process. So he wanted us to delve deeper into a few topics, and he's listed them out for us. So should we get into it, guys?
Yeah. Oh,
that sounds good, Bobby. Let's
and I just
it.
Wanted to say that we don't actually know that this is a he. We're making a huge assumption. But
yes. Yeah. Good
we're
point.
We're just going to say he for like ease of this podcast. Yeah.
Yes. Person who emailed us, you know who you are. Yeah. And you know your gender.
So. Yeah. But I think we've made this assumption based off the questions that were posed to us. So whether accurate or not, we don't know. But yeah. All right. Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out, Star. Yeah. So his first point was... considering there is just one meeting at a temple within the earshot of parents or at a public location such as a hotel, what do you talk about? What can you or can you not ask the potential partner? And finally, on what basis can you give your parents and or relatives an answer within the day? So this one was quite an interesting one, Muli, because I think for you, this scenario would never happen based on the conditions you've set and given to your parents. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think our listener needs to make it clear to his parents that it's not really possible for him to give them an answer in a day, especially since he or she is questioning it already, like that whether they can do it. So I think that's something they really, like, you need to discuss with your parents before you ever agree to them starting the process, because they'll you need to make it totally clear before you start the process that one day is not enough. But I think it, more in terms of what we can talk about, I think that in terms of the conversations that I've had with my matches, they've been quite open and willing to talk about most things, because they're sort of in the same boat. They want to know as much about you as you do about them. So I don't think our listener has to worry too much about, like, as long as the questions aren't super inappropriate based on how conservative the parents are, the girls are, etc. Like, based on our intimate conversations podcast. I think I think anything is on the table. But I think there's no way that I can really relate to him having to give the answer within the day, because I don't have to. And I made that clear to my parents.
Yeah.
And I mean, anyone can be nice for one day, right? And pretend to be like someone.
Yeah, even
not,
you, Star.
So. Yeah, even me. So I don't think you can really form like a good, not an honest impression of someone within one day. I think even I could keep up a charade of being like a good girl who wants to be at home and cook or something. I don't know. Just, actually, I do like being at home and cooking, but not necessarily in a sanskari way. I don't think staying at home while drinking wine and cooking is really a very appropriate thing for me to do.
Oh well,
that could be exactly what he's looking for, though, you know. So, you know, I guess that's why you shouldn't be making any kind of decisions within a day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so dude, I think you need to have a very honest conversation with your parents and say, hey, I need to be able to take at least a few weeks to message the women or men and make a decision and not have to say yes or no within the day.
And there's no expectation really right now that you have to make the decision within the day. Like, people seem to be reasonably happy, even in our family, to exchange numbers and WhatsApp or send messages to each other.
Yeah, this doesn't strike me as a very modern way to be doing things. If even in an arranged marriage process, I think like we've come a long way and no one's really expected to make decisions within the day anymore.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I think that's totally right.
All right, so the second question was, for the modern Indian man, is there a risk that a girl is marrying him just to get a green card or to upgrade societal status or wealth? And he clarified that this cuts the other way too. So this one's a really interesting one for you, Muli, considering that you have Australian citizenship, I guess, and that could mean a girl is interested in you possibly for that reason. So what do you have to say about that one?
Yeah, I think I've never thought too hard about this one. I think it could be something that it could be one of the things that's like a positive attribute for a girl. Like she might think of it as a plus point for you to have citizenship or a green card from somewhere else. But I don't think anybody, especially like in the arranged marriage process, I don't think that would be the only decision that would be the only like criteria for them to make that decision. Because like, I think it's important for us to remember that like people who get arranged marriages, like divorce is still like a bit of a taboo. Like, I don't think anybody's marrying you just for the green card or citizenship. And because like for them to then subsequently get a divorce after they've got some sort of like residency in your country is, it's not going to be that easy, like without a lot of social alienation. What do you think, Star?
Yeah, I agree. But I guess the flip side of that is I can see the situation where I guess an arranged marriage is quite transactive in its nature. Mm. You know, like you kind of want all these things to match up. I agree, Muli, that it wouldn't be the only factor. But say like you've got two people and they're like very close on paper and you have good chemistry with both of them. And then you decide, oh, this guy's got a citizenship, so I'm going to marry him over this other guy who's still in India. Then maybe that's like, I could see that happening, you know?
But is that really wrong though? Like, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that.
No, but in saying that, I don't think it's wrong because I think there's a lot of other criteria that are, let's say similarly, like, I wouldn't say shallow, but like, you know, not something that you would consider a criteria if you're dating someone. Like, you know, there's lots of other criteria, right? Like, how much money do you make? Or how do you look? Or, you know, I think there's a lot of things that you...
Or how tall you are.
Or how tall you are. And if you're, like, taller than the woman or older than the woman. Yeah, I think if you're just in a relationship with someone, you can often, like, overlook or, like, we work through those sorts of things. But in an arranged marriage process, I think you kind of eliminate people on the basis of those things that you wouldn't do if you were just dating someone or in a relationship with someone. Yeah, so I think... Yeah. I think it's just one of many things that is like a part of the package, I guess, of getting an arranged marriage, that this is a possibility.
Yeah, that's right. I think, but I don't think it's a serious risk. Like, I wouldn't worry about it too much in the grand scheme of the whole process.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like if, you know, you have a really wealthy guy or female, they're kind of maybe worried about like, oh, is whoever interested in me because of my money, or do they actually like me for me? So you kind of always want the person to like you for you, and then anything else is kind of like a bonus, so like a plus point. So you would hope that in any kind of context, perhaps your visa status or your green card, that would just kind of be like a bonus as opposed to the main thing. But on the other hand, I have heard horror stories where guys have married girls in Singapore to get kind of Singapore permanent residency or working visas, and then divorce them after. So I actually have heard of those horror stories. So I would agree that that's a risk, but one that's a small risk if you are, you know, doing kind of your homework and making sure you've really done your research on who this girl is, or, you know, what kind of family background she has and that kind of thing. So it's a risk that can be negated.
I'm going to be a little bit sexist here and say if the person who's emailed us is a girl, then I would be a bit more concerned about the visa status and stuff than if you're a guy, because in the arranged marriage process, like as a guy, there's a less expectation that you haven't been married before, etc., than if you're a girl. So I think there's a lot less consequences if you're a guy who marries somebody for a visa than if you're a girl who marries somebody for a visa.
Yeah, that I agree with that, Muli. So his next comment was that he would love to hear a 50-50 view from guys and girls. So he would also love to hear counterintuitive or opposing viewpoints. So example, someone who's saying that, you know, they think their parents' approach to an arranged marriage is very logical, and they think like, yep, they have no issues with it. So he suggested guest members be featured on the show, which we're very interested in doing that. So if anyone's listening and has those kinds of viewpoints, please let us know. Our contact details, as usual, will be mentioned at the end of the show.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I'm tired of listening to you guys, so I'd love to hear some other opinions.
Yeah, I think it would be great to bring some guests on. And we've talked about this a few times. So there's a few different types of guests we'd love to have on the show. Obviously, we'd love to have someone who's happily married through the arranged marriage process and has like a very opposite view to us in terms of how well their parents did in finding them someone. But we'd also like to have people who are happy to ask us like stupid questions about arranged marriage. Like maybe maybe like one of our friends who doesn't know anything about Indian culture or arranged marriage, and they want us to answer some, you know, pretty basic questions maybe. But it would be interesting to see what a naive person would make of the process and what kind of questions they'd come up with. So yeah, I mean, we are actively looking for people to come on our show.
Yeah, I think we get some really good ones from naive people, because just as some listeners might remember, I am recently engaged in and planning my own wedding. And in talking to some of my white friends, I've got some really interesting feedback from them, like things that I consider to be very normal. They're like, oh, you have to do that? Or like, oh, that's so weird. Like, why would you do that? And to me, it's like, well, yeah, of course I have to, you know, that's just the way it's done.
Did you get a lot of unsolicited advice about not being super tacky during the wedding?
Not really. I guess I don't even really know what being super tacky is. Maybe I'd get that kind of advice from you, Muli. But
your friends are a lot nicer with their advice.
Yeah, no, well, I think the thing is they don't know what a super tacky Indian wedding is, you know, to begin with. So they couldn't be like, oh, don't do this at your wedding, you know. Yeah. I think more their feedback has been like, oh, what? Your parents are that involved in the decisions you make for your wedding? And I'm like, well, yeah, kind of, because they're my family and Indian weddings are very much family oriented and, you know. Yeah, I mean, to me, just like I would not book a wedding date or a wedding venue without first running it past my parents, no matter what age I was, just because I want them to be involved in that way. But to them, it's like really weird that I would do that. Yeah, so it's kind of that kind of thing that they're like shocked by. So I would love to hear.
Yeah, fair enough.
What I guess people who aren't really aware of the arranged marriage process think of it. And yeah, I think that would be a really funny episode.
Yeah, the other thing I've come across very commonly is that a lot of people think that arranged marriages are forced marriages.
Yes.
So they're like, oh, you know, your parents pick out someone and you have to marry them. And okay, to be fair, that does happen. And it's not like something that never happens. But I think in the context of like, people like us who are like middle class and our parents are pretty educated, that would not happen.
Yeah, and I think like in the context of like the, you know, the modern Indians, that's not really what happens. All right, so moving on to his next point. What are your thoughts about previous relationships and disclosing that to a potential arranged marriage partner? And when would you do that? And other kind of sub points to that is when would you discuss financial status and when would you discuss any medical conditions? So I thought that was a pretty interesting one, because although we've kind of touched on past relationships and how okay/positive you'd be about that, we haven't really discussed medical conditions, and that's quite an interesting one, I think. What do you think, Muli? Like,
yeah, the medical conditions is quite interesting. I think Star has a funny story involving my mum about the medical conditions stuff.
Yeah, I do. So a few years ago, Muli got an extremely minor procedure done on his knee. It's super minor. He's a really active guy. You know, he does a ton of like hiking and cycling and plays sports. So obviously it hasn't like affected his mobility in any way. But when he was getting the surgery, my mum and dad told us that we weren't allowed to tell anyone else in our family about this. If and when Muli decided to get married, if and when his future partner finds out about his knee, then it could seriously damage his chances, because they would basically think he was like some kind of like langda admi, just like hobbling around with like with like no hope of ever doing anything.
I have a small correction to make there, Star. They didn't say anything to me. This was all to you.
Yeah, they did. It was all to me. And it's funny, because at that time I thought, oh, you know, they would probably tell their family, because they're like much more of a support structure for them than we are in a lot of ways. But yeah, they were like, no, you can't tell anyone and this cannot be allowed to get out. And I wonder even now if they would be okay with you telling people about this movie.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess, so that brings up the, so for this sort of like small medical thing, like our parents were already so concerned about it. So for more serious medical stuff, like I can't even imagine, like I don't think anybody would be bringing it up like until they were married essentially.
Yeah, but that's unfortunate, right?
Yeah, yeah. How would you take that then, Muli? Like, I feel like you should start disclosing your knee thing now just to see what response you get back.
Do you have any medical conditions? Yeah, that's actually something I've never thought to ask anybody. I think one of the people that I talked to volunteered some stuff about having a minor medical thing. So nobody's volunteered, but I guess you do feel like it's really personal, and I guess don't feel like I've gotten to know anybody that well yet, but maybe I shouldn't worry about it as much.
So say, for example, things end up going really awesome with a girl and, you know, you end up getting married to them, and post-marriage she's like, oh, by the way, heads up, I have like this liver condition that means I can never drink alcohol or something like that. I don't know. What kind of, and like, you know, she's had it for a while and she's clearly just chosen this point post-marriage to tell you. What do you think? How do you think that would make you feel?
I think I would be upset, I think, and understandably so. But I don't think I would be, like, if we were already married, I don't think I'd be upset enough to demand a divorce or something. Like, I would be, like, really upset, but, like, below the point of being upset enough to end the relationship, I think.
Yeah, but I think one way you avoid this in the arranged marriage process, and this is, like, I think this is actually one of, like, the more horrible aspects of arranged marriage, is when you go on, like, when you go on Shaadi.com or Bharat Matrimony or whatever other thing mom and dad are using, you actually have to disclose if you have some kind of disability and you go into a special disabled category.
And yeah, that's just awful. That's
kind of fucked up. Yeah. And I think, you know,
that's very, very much like eugenics, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. But the other thing to consider, right? Okay. So you marry like a perfectly healthy person. And say they get into a car accident tomorrow. Are you just going to leave them?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
If something happens to my husband, I'm still going to look after him. Even if he's like a paraplegic, I'm still going to look after him. I'm not just going to be like, oh, so your legs don't work anymore. Bye. You know, like that's...
Yeah.
Life isn't like that. You know, you have to look after each other. Yeah. So I think in a way it's just better to like... I personally would disclose everything. Because in doing that, you're like building trust and you're starting your relationship off, you know, the right way.
Yeah, I think you've touched on a key point there, Star. It's about the trust. Like in disclosing, you've shown that you can be trusted to be honest, and you're choosing to be vulnerable, I guess, in a way. So yeah, I would say the whole medical condition thing, depending on what the condition is, I guess, it's more a trust factor than actually what the condition is.
I think if the listener who's emailed us does have a serious medical condition, I think we're all recommending that he is honest with his partners about it.
Yeah. And I guess in terms of financial status, I've never had this conversation with any of my partners in terms of, oh, how much money do you make or whatever. But most people know, I guess most people could like guess how much money I would make because I was a poor graduate student and then a poor postdoc for a long time. I mean, once you get married, you're liable for each other's finances, right? You're kind of taking on the other person's liabilities and things. So I think it's important to divulge your financial status, especially if you have like a huge loan or like some kind of liability. I don't think most people care if like, oh, my wife doesn't make like $300 million a year or whatever. I think it's more a matter of like just knowing like what your expectations are in terms of like your lifestyle and things like that. You know, it's better to be honest about how much money you actually make. But I think it is important to know if, like, your future partner has a lot of debt or has some kind of, like, commitments that might be, like, a huge strain on your relationship.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I think in terms of when you talk about this, I think you'd have to talk about it, I guess, reasonably early into the process. And I think in terms of the financial stuff, like, I don't think our listener has to worry about it too much because the parents do a lot of financial vetting. At least our parents have been like...
Well, I think this one for me is more about how much money is actually in the bank as opposed to how much money is coming into the bank. Because like Star said, you can mostly figure out how much a person makes based on their profession. But for me, I would be more interested in how much they're actually saving of what they make or how much they're spending. Like, I'd want to know if I'm going to end up in a marriage with someone who has a spending problem or, you know, who's like financially irresponsible and can't be trusted to save money. So for me, this one's more a question of how much money do you have in the bank as opposed to how much money comes into the bank every month. And that's a bit of a, I don't know that I've ever had that conversation with anyone early on. It's only been like later into the relationship that, you know, that's actually kind of come up. Like, how much savings do you have? And, you know, we've divulged that. So, yeah, I don't know at which point you would bring that up in an arranged marriage process. What do you think, Muli?
Yeah, I'm not really sure either. I've never gotten to the stage where I'd have to bring it up with any of my matches yet either. So I think that would be very much like towards the end, I think. Like, if I was pretty much sure about everything else, I think that's when I would get to the financial stuff personally. That's how I would do it.
Yeah, that sounds fair enough.
And I think I'll bring the medical conditions before that. And in terms of the last part of that question, which is about former relationship and disclosing it to potential partners, that really depends on the partners and what they think. In terms of being completely honest about previous partners, I don't think it's really necessary.
You know, when you're dating someone,
yeah,
I think it does come up, oh, what former relationships did you have at some stage, right? You're not going to talk about it on your first date, but it might come up maybe like a few dates into the relationship. And I think there's an expectation that you probably did date someone if you are already dating, right? I don't think a lot of people are thinking, oh, this is the first date you've ever been on. So I think it's fine to talk about previous relationships in that situation. But the one thing I probably wouldn't do is like, oh, like, let's go into the details of like how many people I've slept with or, you know, how many guys that I've had a one night stand with or whatever. Like, I don't think that's like any of someone else's business. And I'd be like a little bit insulted if like a guy asked me like, how many guys have you been with or whatever, because I wouldn't ask someone that. I'm just happy in the knowledge that, okay, you've dated other people or you've had sex with other people. I don't really care about that. For me, the former relationship thing is more important in the sense like, why didn't that work out and what did you learn from it? And, you know, how have your priorities changed as a result of that?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. But I think that's very much of a big difference between that and how former relationships are seen, like in like during the arranged marriage process, especially by maybe more conservative family or groom.
Yeah, Muli, but you know, you've had previous relationships and you don't care if the women you meet have had previous relationships, right? So you don't, it's not like you guys have to go and tell your parents, like, here's a list of everyone else that this person's dated.
Yeah.
But if you're just having a private conversation, then it's probably a good thing to get it out in the open with the proviso that, you know, you say to each other, hey, look, let's have a private conversation and we don't talk about this outside of the two of us.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's totally fair.
Yeah, I think, Star, what you said about, you know, how it's more important to you that, you know, why a relationship didn't work or, you know, that's kind of the more important question to be asking. Completely agree with that. And the secondary question, or like if that even comes up, would be how many people you slept with. Like, that shouldn't really be of any consequence to anyone. But I think for a lot of people, that actually becomes the more important question. And that's the one they're more concerned about as opposed to why a previous relation didn't work out, which I guess it's a flawed way of thinking. But the reality is that I guess there are lots of insecurities out there and people get insecure about that kind of thing. So I think especially in the arranged marriage context, like, I mean, I know people in relationships who haven't given out that information of like how many people each person has slept with. And I know people who've discussed things in great detail, which I think is really weird. But yeah.
So you mean like, you know, and other people in that order, Bobby?
Yeah, like, you know, like I'm it's fine, you know, you've been there, done that. I don't need to know exactly what you did though. That does not matter to me and I do not want to know anything about that. But yeah, so I think this is a question that will come up a lot more in an arranged marriage process than it would in a more modern dating scenario. So it'll be interesting to see. It's really an individual thing, I guess, and it'd be interesting to see if you do come across, Muli, anyone who is upset by you having had any past relationships.
Yes, so far, I think I got one of my matches has told me that she's had past relationships and one was quite serious. So I think so far people, and we did have a conversation about my previous relationship or lack thereof as well. So I think I'm very happy to be honest about it, but I don't think I got the feeling that any of my like most recent ones had many, like, well, I didn't get close enough to Khushbu to find out, but I don't think any of the others I've had this conversation with at all.
Would it be an issue for you, Muli, if whoever you're talking to had had like a really serious relationship or?
No, not at all. I think I didn't think any different of the person. But I think there's plenty of people who would think differently if they knew that they'd had a serious relationship before.
Or what about the flip side? Would it matter to you if someone had just had lots of one-night stands?
No, I don't think that would matter to me much either. But I don't think I would even ask them. So if someone had had lots of one-night stands, I wouldn't be like, oh, how many one-night stands have you had? More than 10? Less than 10? Like, oh, do you need both hands? Do you need one hand? Like, so I don't know.
Do
like,
you need
I would,
to bring I would, your toes would, into this?
I would honestly never ask anybody I was with if they'd had a lot of one-night stands. Mainly because, as you might know, I don't like to talk about that sort of stuff anyways. So it would never come up. It genuinely doesn't bother me at all. So I don't know. I'm completely the wrong guy to be asking about this. Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys. So that was part one of our listener feedback episode. Stay tuned next week for part two, where we'll be discussing more about what our listeners wanted us to give our opinions on. So yeah, come back for that. And as always, if you have any comments, we'd love to hear them at arrangedmarriagepodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at @AMMIMpodcast. We'd also like to thank Kevin McLeod for the use of his song Narayana in our theme. Till next week, thanks for listening.